And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are delighted that you are here today on Homecoming Sunday. And I have looked over in our fellowship hall, and I have a challenge for you. I don't believe if every one of you stay that you can eat all the food that's over there. That's my challenge to you. I hope you will stay and join us. We're going to, at the end of our service, we're going to let our guests, and it kind of doesn't quite feel right to call Matt and Lauren and Lillian and now Penelope a guest, but they are our guests today, and we're going to let them go through our line first, but I'm going to offer the blessing here before we dismiss. At the end. I won't do it now because it might expire before we eat, but I'll wait till the end of the service so it'll be fresh, and then we'll go over and we will enjoy a time of food and fellowship, and we want to invite everyone. And maybe you're a guest today. Boy, are you a good chooser of when to come. And you need to stay. We would be honored to have you. Let me share a few announcements as we begin. The ladies' Bible study, Breathe, will resume tonight at 6:15 for all those that are involved in that study. Tomorrow is going to be a very special day at our church, and there's information about that in the bulletin. Hope that you'll read that. The World Day of Prayer, the church will be open for prayer all day long. There will be a service at 6:30, and we look forward to sharing that time as we pray for our world and for the work of the Lord in that regard. And a wonderful thing we have observed here for a lot of years. And then tomorrow we're going to also have the grief through the holidays that's being co-sponsored by our church and Liberty Hospice. It is a wonderful program. They're going to have special music. We're going to give some real strategies for how one who is grieving can get through a time that sometimes is very difficult, and we are fast approaching that most difficult time. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of that, we would absolutely love to have you tomorrow. That begins in our fellowship hall at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. You'll note that we are also, there's an announcement in your bulletin. And by the way, you need to read the bulletin. Everything in there is important, and there's a lot in there. We are doing an awful lot, and I'm grateful for the effort and the energy. But please note that. And so if anybody comes and says, I didn't know it, I'm going to say, did you get a bulletin last Sunday? And so that's how I'm going to start that conversation. So read that. But you will note the donations. We need them by Monday week, November the 13th. And Grant Hasty is going to be coming and speaking to us on the 29th. And I understand he's going to be going to Jersey Baptist that same day. And we are looking forward to seeing Grant again. But we are going to have a group going for Thanksgiving and carrying that and providing the Thanksgiving meal. Again, that is the second poorest county in the nation. And to have an opportunity to make some inroads into their world is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Also, our before-school ministry will resume this Wednesday, and it's been going on. We've got some dates we'll be letting you know about. But for if you'd like to start your school day here at the church with a light breakfast and a short devotion, and everybody's gone by 7:15 to get on to school, we would invite you to come, and the whole church family is invited to that. I'm not sure I've got them all in. Are there any other announcements that we need to talk about? Did I mention read the bulletin? Okay, because there's a bunch going on, and we hope you will do that. Again, on this very special Sunday when we celebrate 111 years of a flat. I don't know how we showed up on Facebook. Did y'all see us last week on Facebook? Happy birthday, Flat Springs Baptist Church. That's what we're celebrating. What God has been doing in Deep River for some time now. We are delighted that God is doing that. Right now, Regina is going to play a special. It's a wonderful time for us just to pause and kind of clear our heads, do a reset, take a deep breath, and begin to prepare ourselves to encounter the living God as we praise His name and worship.
Would you join with the choir in singing our call to worship? There's just something about that name. If you need to look at the hymnal, it's 177. Let's stand as we sing. Sing it to Jesus' face.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the praise.
Standing for our next hymn. Heavenly Father, there is something life-changing. There is something encouraging. There is something challenging about your name. And God, we call your name now in praise and in worship. We lift you above every name. We are grateful for how you have changed even our name and made us something new. Old things are passed away and all things become new. And on this homecoming Sunday, when we celebrate the fact that there are some powerful old things that have happened over the last century and a decade and a year, those things have happened that we might continue to allow you to change us into who and what you would need us to be, that we might be here until you come again and receive us unto yourself. Heavenly Father, bless our worship. Speak to us clearly as we celebrate with each other and as we praise your holy name. For it is in Jesus' name we pray.
Hymn number 83, Arise, Your Light Has Come.
Arise, Your Light Has Come, the Spirit's call obey, show forth the glory of your God, which shines on
here on this homecoming Sunday, as we remember the heritage and the history of this church and the people that were involved with it. Be with those on the prayer list, Lord, and lift them up and heal them and be with those that are suffering. Bless us now and bless this offering for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If we have any guests with children, we would love to have them come down too. So any children, come on down. Good morning. This is a special day at Flat Springs, isn't it? It's homecoming. This is a day that we celebrate Flat Springs. Pastor Gary just told us it's 111 years old. That's pretty old, isn't it? It began in November 1905, and that's about the time that people were beginning to get Model Ts, but they probably came to church the first time on horse and buggies. That's been a good while ago, hasn't it? Good while ago. But then they had Model T Fords, and they could drive those. We are talking about people who have been at Flat Springs, who are at Flat Springs, and celebrate that. Before we do that, I want to show you something that I brought with me. Can you see this little white Bible? It used to be really white, but now it's kind of faded and yellow. Do you know why it's kind of faded? It's old. That's exactly right. On the inside of this, it says 1956. And this was presented to me when I was 10 years old. And it was by my Sunday school teacher, Miss Sue Riddle. And she gave it to me because I recited Bible verses. Miss Sue Riddle was a wonderful lady, Christian lady, and she was my Sunday school teacher along with a lot of others. And why do I show this to you? Because I want you to know that it means something to me. I remember when I see this, and it makes me thankful and glad that I was brought up in a Christian home and my parents took me to church. The church that I got this from is a very old church, too. And that was right up the road from here. So I appreciate all the things that other people did for me. And I want you to feel like you understand that a lot of people are doing a lot for you. And hopefully when you get older, you'll have some memories like that. Homecoming is to focus on the church's history. I want you to think about all the people that help with this church. We don't know them by name like some people do, but there probably are thousands who came here and worshiped all those 111 years, and they worked to make this church grow. And I don't mean especially the building, like the bricks and the mortar. I mean all the people that they shared the message with, and people that began to come and join and make this church. All the pastors that were here, all the Sunday school teachers, all the people who worshiped God together and studied God's word and had fellowship together and even meals together like we're going to have today. We're good for that, aren't we? But why do we do this? Why do we have a church? There's a reason. And we always go to the Bible to find out, don't we? Well, I have some scripture, a few verses I'm going to share with you from the book of Acts. And this is right after Christ was crucified, rose, and went back to heaven. And his disciples and a lot of the believers were together. And they were beginning the very first of the church. This is the beginning of the church. And let's see what they did about over 2,000 years ago. It says, Acts 2, verse 42, and they, and that means all the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. So they began the church by breaking bread, praying, and having fellowship together and listen to the apostles or the disciples teach the word. Is that what we do today? That's why we do that today. And then verse 44 says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were together. And the last one, 46, I'm going to read you, says, and day by day, attending the temple together, which would be the same as our church, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So, that's the beginning of the church, and that's what we are supposed to continue today. We're supposed to share the word. We're supposed to make our church grow. And like I said, I don't mean the building. I mean the people. We're supposed to share the gospel. We're supposed to tell others about Christ. We're supposed to pray together. We're supposed to help each other. And that's what we do at Flat Springs. We help each other. We pray together. And we attend together. And we worship together. Now, when you grow up, hopefully you'll be coming still right here to Flat Springs. I hope so. And if you don't, if you move too far away, we hope that you'll come back on homecoming day. You promise you'll do that? If you'll come back. All right, and then I want to say the most important homecoming, one day, if you believe that Jesus was God's Son and you worship Him, there will be a real homecoming. And that's when we will go to heaven, to our real home, and stay forever in heaven. Won't that be something? That's our real homecoming, isn't it? Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Flat Springs Baptist Church. We thank you for all the people who worked here and worshiped here. And we ask that you bless these children and keep them here or in a church so they can spend eternity with you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you.
It's easy for me to remember 70 years ago. At last year's Thanksgiving service, we talked about a tramp who spent the night here in the church in the early 1960s. Most country churches in those days left the doors unlocked. After all, who would do any damage to a church? And if someone felt the need to go to the church to pray or meditate, they shouldn't be locked out. That was the thinking in those days. A tramp would always be alone and carried a sack slung over his shoulder. He was usually a scruffy, bent over, weathered, older fellow, walking with a slow cadence. And he never spoke to us little boys who would line the shoulder of the road. His eyes were straight ahead or looking down. I will always remember the tramps. And even as a little boy, I felt sorry for the tramp. There was another breed of man in those days who simply showed up when the weather warmed up in the springtime. There were two men who came by for several years in this community in the mid to late 1940s. They were intelligent, clean, for the most part, and weathered black men. The oldest one, I expect, was around 65 years old, and we always called him Uncle Jerry. Uncle Jerry spoke in a slow, quiet voice. He had a mustache, average size. He wore faded overalls and was as lean as a buggy whip. The other man was shorter, faster, younger. I think his name was Jim. And since he was younger and moved faster, we simply called him Jim. We had no idea where they were from, where they were going, why they were out there, or even what their last names were. They didn't travel together. I doubt they knew each other. They would just show up and wait for Daddy to come home and ask if there was any work that needed doing. I never heard what they wanted for compensation. It was give me somewhere to sleep, feed me at mealtime, and they did what was asked of them. At mealtime, Mother always used fatback in her cooking. And she always cooked a little extra of everything when Uncle Jerry or Jim was there. We had a little one-room building near the house, and that is where they slept. It just had a sorry old bed in it. I don't even know if it had a mattress on it or not. But getting back to the fat back, Mother would slice it and fry it when we were boys. And I always loved that hard rind, the meat skin that was left after you ate the fat back off of it. And I would check the plates after everyone had eaten and collect them and eat the fat-back rinds that others failed to eat. Uncle Jerry and Jim would always wait until we had eaten before they came in to eat. I came running in the kitchen late one afternoon, and I hit the jackpot. There was a plate with 6 or 8 meat skins, rinds on it. And they didn't stand a chance with me around, and I put them in my pocket. I wore overalls. I put them in my overall pockets, and I'd all gnawed on them probably for an hour or so till they were all gone. And about bedtime, I told Mother, I said, I can't believe anybody would have left all those good meat skins. And she said, well, Uncle Jerry had sucked all the meat off of them, and they were too hard for him to eat. Their pattern of leaving matched their pattern of coming. We would get up one morning and he would be gone. No goodbye. No, I'll see you later. See you next year. No, nothing. Where did these men come from? As hardworking and intelligent as they were, why didn't they stay in one place? Were they running from the law? Did they have mamas and daddies or a wife and children, brothers or sisters? Who would have been notified if they had died in Deep River? And isn't it strange that as many good, friendly people that we meet and associate with in our time here on earth, and then they move away and we forget their names and faces and the sound of their voices, why is it that we remember Uncle Jerry and Jim? Nor can I help but wonder, did they ever make it to homecoming?
I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every day. His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away. And in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me.
I don't know whether you all have noticed that we have a new piece of pulpit furniture. I mentioned to Tom Luck several weeks ago that it would be nice to have a wider podium back here to be able to have music on, but also sometimes we take the pulpit out, and when we do that, then we'll have a larger one. So he made this this beautiful podium a little bit wider, and he put an inscription on it that I want to read. In loving memory of Gail and Pat, in appreciation for their years of service to God. Flat Springs Baptist Church. And I didn't remember that their funerals were less than a month apart. But he built that, and I am very appreciative of it, Tom. Let's stand and sing the first and the last verse of 547. I stand amazed in the presence.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. At that time you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you had been angry with me, you turned your anger away from me and you comforted me. Look, God is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. Because the Lord is my strength and my song, he is my Savior. With joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation. At that time you will say, praise the Lord, call on his name. Make his deeds known among the nations. Make them remember that his name is highly honored. Make music to praise the Lord. He has done wonderful things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Shout loudly and sing with joy, people of Zion. The Holy One of Israel is great. He is among you.
Thank you, Chase. He read that so well. Look at your prayer concerns, and you have two inserts, and I actually want you to maybe take the other one about Operation Christmas Child and put them side by side. I'll try to let you know why. Last Sunday was our associational meeting, and during that time when we gathered, there was a missionary couple. A guy from Sanford had gone on the mission field, kind of not unlike the way Jonathan and Jess had done. He was with another organization, and he was sharing the story of how he had been on mission. And he had his wife that he had met on the mission field and married, and she was from Kosovo. And as they were sharing all the things they were doing, places they were going, ministries they were beginning to begin, they came to the end of their moment, and they started to walk off. And she noticed over on the pulpit of this church that there were some Samaritan purse boxes there. And she said, may I say a word? And almost like it just hit her, you know? It was so real. And we didn't know what she was going to say. And she came back and she said, I was actually born in a refugee camp. My family is from Kosovo, but because of the war there, we were in Germany. Actually, when she was conceived and born. And she said, I remember one Christmas, all I got for Christmas that year was one of those Samaritan boxes. And how powerful it is. Do your best, she said. Three times she said, do your best. And so as we pray today, I want us to pray about that. We need some stuff today because there's a packing party at 3 o'clock. And we're trying to get 70 more boxes to reach our goal of 200. Especially we need, and if I say especially, that's all we'll get. But we need everything that's on this list that you now have before you. And as soon as you eat, I know you're headed out and I'll have it back here by 3 today. But especially soap and washcloths You can't pack a box without those. And so we are needing 70 more, and the cost is $7 per box to send. If you'd like to be a part of that in any way. But that was a powerful moment. In fact, that was the most powerful moment of this Osational meeting for me, was when she shared that and how God used those boxes in a powerful way. So let me share that with you. I do want us to add one name to our prayer list, the family of Lisa Womble Poole. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, it is easy to think everywhere is like here, and all people are like us. And Lord, there are places today where tragedy is occurring while I'm talking, where bombs are falling, where angry men are fighting angry men, and people's lives are being destroyed in the battle. And we are called by you to be your hands and your feet. And maybe, God, maybe, just maybe, the reason you bless us so well and give us so much is not so we can use it on ourselves, but because we can be your hands and feet to reach out to those who aren't like us today, who don't know the peace that we share, who don't know the security that we feel. And maybe like that dear lady, this Christmas the only thing they'll receive will be a box that we pack here at Flat Springs. So I'm going to take her at her message, oh God, and I hope we'll all do our best. God, we're grateful for the many ways you come to us, and one of the great blessings in this community is this congregation. We have reached out to folks that were devastated just a few weeks ago by the hurricane. We've reached out to foreign missions across this world. We continue to reach out to neighbors who are in trouble. We reach out in big ways and little ways. We reach out in loud ways, and we reach out in quiet ways. But God, for sure, this church is a blessing. Oh, we're not perfect. There's still room for improvement. But Lord, you have used us in our imperfections in powerful ways for this past century. And we pray even on this homecoming Sunday that you might use us until you come again. We pray for these on this list. We ask your blessing to be upon all those who have special needs. And we pray, Lord, that you might use us as your hands and feet. In Christ's name, amen. When you introduce someone who needs no introduction, that's my responsibility today. It was just over a year ago that God called Matt to Jersey Baptist Church to go and be the senior pastor there. And we are honored to have him and his immediate family and his extended family with us in worship today. And we are delighted to hear what God will say through him as God has been preparing him for this moment to be our message this morning. And so I know that you will pray for Matt, and I have asked that he go first at the end of our service, so he won't be meeting me at the door, but he did say he'd be hanging around. And I told him we all want to see him, but we all really want to see Penelope too. So, Miss Lillian is here in matching colors and is got a pocketbook that went right along with that. I know you'll want to make them feel welcome home as they come. And so, Matt, after our choir has sung, we would invite you to come and bring what God has laid upon your heart to us.
Thank you. This life is a journey we walk by faith. And there will always be the mountains in our way. Right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, just say amen.
Sometimes in the darkness it's hard to see, so just be brave and follow where He leads.
Greater is the One who's in us than He is in the world. The child of God, remember, the battle is the Lord's.
Say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow? Sing it time and time again, just say amen. Say.
Instructions. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. We've been worshiping this morning. We've been in worship this morning. How inviting that is to have the Holy Spirit be among us and guide us and prepare us for the week ahead by gathering together as the church to see how He convict us, inspire us, and prepare prepare us to be his hands and feet, as we have heard and as we are proclaimed this morning. Go ahead and open up your scriptures to Luke chapter 12. I'll give you a few moments to do that. Luke 12, 49 will be our start this morning. While you're doing that, I know it's homecoming. Lauren and I are very excited and thankful to be here. What a blessing it is. But I'm not going to stretch any analogies to make it homecoming-esque, so to speak. Certainly, it's going to be a message that will hopefully bring glory and honor to God. But when the church gathers together to start the week, the church is here to be inspired, convicted, and equipped, and mobilized to go outside the walls and be the church. And that's what we're doing here and now. So I'm excited about that opportunity. The Lord has led us to a wonderful time so far, and I'm thankful to continue that here and now. Luke chapter 12, 49 through 53 will be our focal passage this morning. If you're able, stand with me in honor of reading God's Word. Jesus speaking here. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it be kindled already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. We certainly add God's blessings and pray for them to continue this morning in hearing his word. You may be seated. Not quite the focal passage you may have expected for homecoming, but this is an encouraging passage, I assure you. Jesus does have an encouraging word in what he's saying, even though it probably doesn't hit your ears quite like you might expect it to, with his question within this passage. But Jesus' question will certainly be what guides us this morning and will give us the conclusion we need to go outside these walls as the church. For now, though, I want you to listen to a statement that I'm going to say. I'm going to say it several times, and I want to say it several times so you have time to either agree or disagree. Totally up to you. You can be wrong and disagree, but it is your choice. It's your opinion. So I'm going to say the statement several times, just two sentences, and just think to yourself after you've heard it. We'll continue on and have the scripture move us forward. A comfortable religion of dull habit creates no division, nor does a comfortable religion of dull habit know how to deal with the passion of a true believer. A comfortable religion of dull habit creates no division, nor does a comfortable religion of dull habit know how to deal with the passion of a true believer. A comfortable religion of dull habit creates no division, nor does a comfortable religion of dull habit know how to deal with the passion of a true believer. Think about that. Think about that as we focus on Jesus' question this morning. Jesus asks, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth?" You know, there are many times in Scripture that Jesus asks a question. He doesn't give us a direct answer, mainly because the answer should be obvious, and we should know what he's asking and why he's asking it. But this time, Jesus makes no mistake. He wants to make sure the answer is loud and clear. And when Jesus asks, did he come to bring peace on earth, you may think yes. After all, we're getting close to Christmas time, and how many songs do we sing about the birth of our Savior and that peace that we talk about that we feel so often? So we would assume Jesus would certainly say yes. Instead, it's an emphatic no. He not only said no, he said not only no to peace, but I came to bring division instead of peace. To me, there should be a desire when you hear this from Jesus to know why.
it should stir something within you to want to know, why would he ask this question? Why would he answer it this way? What does it mean for me? Certainly the disciples thought this when they heard Jesus say this. It's a curveball, Jesus. Help me understand. Why would you say this? Why answer this way? Let that sink in for a moment. Hopefully there's a desire to know more. As that desire hopefully swells within you, I want to tell you a little bit about how we are ministering at Jersey Baptist Church. Part of our conversation right now is focusing on how we are called to congregationally experience times of spiritual discomfort. And we're called to experience spiritual discomfort because it continually helps us examine whether or not we're just focused on our own opinion versus God's will. Because spiritual comfort is really an oxymoron. There's no such thing as being spiritually comfortable. Because Jesus came to bring division. And within that, there is truth that is very applicable for us today, as always. And there is an encouraging word behind that. I promise. Today's scripture, in part, exposes how Jesus calls us to embrace spiritual discomfort. And how that allows us really to know that we're on the right track of discipleship. That's what Jesus wants his disciples to know. This is how you know you're doing it right, when you experience it this way. I want us to deal with the way Jesus answers his own question. And the way I begin to deal with how Jesus answers this question is to ask myself this. Is Jesus' answer to his question a declaration with vengeance, or is it a heartfelt recognition of what he knows is to come? Big difference there. I mean, I have to think to myself, is Jesus really declaring to his disciples with vengeance what he's out to do? Or is he humbly recognizing the reality that is to come because of who he is? I believe that compassion was certainly there when Jesus asked this question and answered it as well. Because I believe the answer about Jesus bringing division exposes the very reality that Jesus, his very existence, his teachings, his way of living, provides two very different ways of life and two very different eternal destinations. So Jesus knows the severity of his life, his existence, and his teachings, and the consequences from either following that and being his disciple or rejecting that. And he wants to expose that truth and those consequences. Meaning Jesus knows that as a follower, someone who follows his example, listens and obeys his teachings, they will experience life completely averse to the way the world wants to have us experience life. Jesus knows there are moments, I like to say, not just a moment, where people have to deal with the consequences of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Continually at that. God is so acting in the world through Jesus Christ that a crisis is created. Peace in the sense of status quo is disrupted, and that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. That's why Jesus is talking about division here when we would expect him to answer peace. He's wanting us to realize the severity of the situation, to hopefully inspire and motivate us to take to heart what he does and what he says. Unfortunately, Jesus knows that there will be people who will reject him. There'll be people who will hear his teachings. They'll experience his presence. They'll say no. And hopefully, when we hear the reality that Jesus knew all along that his teachings and his way of living would create two different paths, we do everything in our power to allow our discipleship process to invite others to join us so they don't have to experience that division and separation. You see, the way of Jesus is foreign to people who do not follow him. It doesn't hit their ears right. They don't want to comprehend it. It doesn't make sense to them because they haven't humbly accepted his way and his teachings. That's why Jesus is bringing this up to his disciples. And speaking of division, I'm sure everyone has noticed the commercials flooding our televisions the past many months. What pastor could pass up an opportunity to talk about division and bring up politics? And Gary may be sweating right now. But he knows me, and this is very challenging for me to speak of politics in the pulpit. So what I'd like to do is to have you humor me and listen to some political quotes. I'm not going to impersonate by any means, advocate, or any of the sort. I just want us to hear quotes that two individuals in our presidential election have said recently. Some in a humorous tone. Some may find it funny, others may not. But this is what has been said over the past several months, and it really exposes division on a grand scale. Because many of us believe we are so right, we welcome divisive conversation and exposes division. Hillary Clinton, when speaking to a crowd, said this. She said, "You may have seen I recently launched a Snapchat account. I love it. I love it," she said. "Those messages disappear all by themselves." I'm just quoting, nothing else. Donald Trump, he said, "My IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel stupid or insecure. It's not your fault." Donald Trump also said, "The beauty of me is that I'm very rich." Hillary Clinton said, "We have a lot of kids who don't know what work means. They think work is a four-letter word." Slower, slower, that's okay. Donald Trump said, "My strongest asset is my temperament." Now there's a couple quotes of one saying something about the other. Hillary Clinton had this to say about Trump, saying Trump's ideas are not just different, they're dangerous. They're not even really ideas, they're bizarre rants and personal feuds and outright lies. That's encouraging and warm and gives you warm fuzzies inside. As well as Trump's statement about Clinton. "She's all talk, no action. Sounds good, but never going to work. Our country's suffering because of people like Secretary Clinton." Couldn't you just start to feel a little bit of division in the air? That's good.
Good.
A little tension rose. That division is there. We realize that. Thankfully, after Tuesday, our TV screens will be different. I don't know about the conversation, but that's not here nor there right now. But division started to rise among us because we felt a little tension. We believe this, they believe this, they believe that, I believe this. And we become numb to that almost. I mean, if anybody watches television or listens to the radio, they hear these divisive comments, quoting people all with an agenda, and we become numb to division by and large. But what we cannot become numb to is the division that Jesus Christ causes. We cannot become numb to that reality. We actually need to embrace that reality. Meaning Jesus clearly shows he is the Messiah. Jesus' teachings clearly show he is the way. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection all point to the Father and provide us an opportunity for eternal life. Those truths are there and must be adhered to. But people way too often ignore that reality here on earth. Thus, division occurs. A lot of people ignore the reality that one day Jesus will come back on earth. And all his glory and all nations, it says, will be ushered in front of him. And people will be separated. People will go to his right. People will go to his left. There will be people who will be ushered into eternity with him in heaven. There will also be people ushered away from him for all of eternity in hell. Got your attention again, didn't I? It's serious. That reality is what brings us together to be equipped and mobilized to go and do what Jesus teaches us to do so people have the chance to be accepted and be ushered in into the kingdom of heaven for all of eternity. But there's also the reality that there will be people who will not, so we have to deal with that division that is going to be there. Because Jesus is presenting in his question and answer the reality that there is always an opportunity. People will always have an opportunity to follow Jesus Christ, obey his teachings, love him as their Lord and Savior, and people will also have the opportunity to reject that completely. And let's not be too surprised when that happens inside church buildings as well. That's a reality that we have to focus on. That's why Jesus is providing us an understanding that he brings division. because it exposes the realization that there will be people who do not follow him. So our obedience is that much more important. Eternity is riding on it. Our lives, and hear this, church, our lives are to impact eternity. Let that sink in. That's what Jesus is exposing here. Your life is meant to be lived so that in eternity is impacted. That's powerful. That's convicting. That brings division, unfortunately. Allow me to take a side street just for a moment. We have Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, two wonderful holidays most people thoroughly enjoy. We have a lot of family traditions during these holiday times, and you probably have a central location, let's say during Thanksgiving, that family may go to eat a meal. Think of that scenario in your family. For my family, we typically go to Bonnelly, North Carolina. A few people know where that is. People from Bynum, from Apex, Pittsburgh, Lexington, we all go to Bonnelly to celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, what happens when someone who is invited in the family and is very capable of coming decides not to come to the tradition you expected them to be a part of? Hopefully there's some disappointment there, and hopefully it's because you miss more than just their cranberry salad, right? Hopefully you miss the spirit they bring, the conversation that comes with them, that adds to the gathering, the tradition that is there. Usually you expect everyone that can attend to attend, right? So what happens when someone willfully chooses not to? A piece is missing. A person is missing. There's an incomplete picture there, and now the absence of that person shapes the future differently than it was anticipated to be experienced. Follow this transition with me, church. There are a set of expectations that accompany a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And one expectation that I firmly believe needs to be sought after and defended and prized is our corporate time of worship together. It should bring joy to our hearts, fulfillment to our spirits, and mobilize to go and be the church outside these walls each and every week. So what happens when one person or a group of people decide not to be a part of that picture Jesus has called us to be a part of? It changes what the week could and should have been, right? Hopefully we need to realize that Jesus is asking us to delve into this question because eternity is riding on it. And so we can never just go through a week or two and act like we won't miss a beat. We are called daily to be Jesus' hands and feet because people need to know the Lord and because division occurs when people reject him. So it's our opportunity to present his love to them again and again and again. To prayerfully give them an opportunity, hopefully give them opportunity to be a part of his family. And let me take a moment just to be extremely real with you. Matt Rigsby, follower of Jesus Christ, husband, father, pastor, those priorities in order. Those are the ways that Jesus has laid it on my life to minister, to impact eternity, to focus on his will. And we need to think about life that way. How has Jesus Christ prioritized your life? So you are impacting eternity the way he has called you to do so. How are you going to look at this year ahead, approaching next homecoming, and seeing how the Lord has brought to you and your attention the ways you've impacted eternity? Hopefully there are clear ways we can see that. And within that picture, we are going to see included in it some division, because there will be people who will reject Jesus Christ. To me, what I believe Jesus is really getting at here and the way I felt the Holy Spirit be a time of conviction for us is because Jesus disrupts life, and that's a good thing to me. That's what I see Jesus saying here. He's not out to get us. He's not out to cause problems just for problem's sake. Jesus disrupts life because that's the only way we'll understand how life is meant to be lived. And then when we hear the choir sing the anthem they did, we will be able to shout amen after every declaration. We will understand how he's brought us through fire. We will understand how he's brought us through sorrow. we'll understand how he's brought to our attention the need to love him and love others as he did. That will be brought to our attention over and over again. We're called to do what we've been doing all morning, to glorify God in all we say and do, and that's a beautiful thing. But let us not forget that when that's done properly, problems do arise. And we should expect that. The division Jesus is speaking about is the realization that Jesus' disciples live drastically different from those people who have rejected him. So our prayers should focus this week on how we are to provide opportunities for others to embrace his love. And let's remember that first quote that I said. A comfortable religion of dull habit creates no division. But nor does a comfortable religion of dull habit know how to deal with a passion of a true believer. There are passionate believers who worship God Almighty at Flat Springs Baptist Church and have been doing so for 111 years. That's a glorious thing. There are passionate believers who have allowed their lives to be disrupted for the cause of Christ at Flat Springs Baptist Church. And the prayer needs to be, how will that continue in the year ahead? And more specifically, ask yourselves, are you going to be comfortable with dull this week? Or are you going to passionately express your belief in Jesus? We'll find out by the way you live this week. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pray with me. God, what an encouraging time to bring us together as your church, as your people, to worship you, God Almighty. To bring to us a thought, a question, a dialogue from your Son Jesus that stirs within us many emotions and thoughts. But Lord, we pray that those all land with a direction in the week ahead that only you provide. Give us clarity in the words that we are to speak and the attitudes we are to have and the interactions that will confront us this week. Pray for opportunity to speak about your love. Equip this church as you have been doing so for 111 years, and may your glory continue to be exposed and experienced. And we pray this in your wonderful name. Amen.
I want to step down at this time and have a hymn of conclusion and invitation.
What a powerful word. Thank you, man, for sharing that with us. Now we come to what we
wonderful day of worship. Choir. In Alabama, they'd say, y'all done good. And I know that's not good English, but that was a powerful song. Thank you for sharing that message with us today. We found last year that it works better, and I'm going to aggravate some of you, but love me anyway. If everybody goes out that way, see, that's really the way I get everybody to come by me one Sunday a year. But we also know some of you know a shortcut to the line. And we also know it bottlenecks everything and makes a total mess. So we're going to ask everybody to go out this door, okay? Or you can go out that door and go around that way, as long as you come into the fellowship hall through those doors on that end. Are we good? You can't say anything else right now, can you? I got you. So if you would do that, I am going to ask Matt and his family to slip away. We want them to be first so they can eat first, and they'll be available to fellowship with us. And indeed, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to offer a blessing. So as soon as we get over there and the ladies are ready, we can go ahead and start through the line. Hear my challenge. You can't eat it all. And even if you didn't bring any, if you go anywhere and eat, you are a silly person, because there'll be no better food in all of Lee County than is going to be in that fellowship hall right now. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So you're invited. We would love to have you, and there is a tremendous amount of food. That choir special. Interesting, David Haley, our revival speaker in March. I want to get revival in our mind all the time. He preached that same passage a few weeks ago, and his title was No Easy Way. No Easy Way. Today, I think the Holy Spirit has challenged us to go out into a divided world and share the love of Christ that does bring division, but it does bring hope and eternity, as Matt so profoundly reminded us of today. So, church, we have been equipped. Let us be prepared to go out and proclaim and to get ready. You know what the choir kept telling us to do over and over? If you ever saw the Lord help you? If the Lord's ever did, the choir kept singing, shout, amen. I know a good way to end before I pray. And I don't want your quiet voice. I want your loud voice. Let us, as we leave this homecoming Sunday worship experience, let us together shout, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, amen means so be it. Your worship today has been good. You have spoken to us loudly and clearly. You have challenged us and reminded us. And through your quiet Holy Spirit, you have wooed us to walk a little closer, to walk a little deeper, to love a little harder, and to receive your love a little better. So thank you for all that has been done today. Now may we leave this place and go out and be your hands and feet, and be your message, and be equipped to share your love of eternity. In Christ's name we pray. And Lord, bless our food as we will share it together, as we break bread together, as Martha reminded us, is what the church does, where we fellowship in a special way to draw closer to each other. So bless the food and the fellowship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus is the song of